Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Holding out for a new frontier hero on television? If so, The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger may fit your taste bud. INFP debuts this series tomorrow night, and the star, Rib Hillis, with executive producer Paul Epstein, joins me next. Also ahead, Amazon's TV-making ventures face a big takedown, our classic trivia question, and Sony and Walmart enter the no-talk smart TV zone at CES 2024. What gives? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on more than 40 great podcast sites, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour this afternoon is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. 47 degrees top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Yes, we are done with that storm that came at us yesterday and overnight. Rains are gone, sun and a little crazy wind is out, and we are here to bring you our second free episodes this week of the program all about TV's current and future. Have some wonderful guests in store for you in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got a chat room business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We have a coast-to-coast connection for our guest today from The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger, which premieres tomorrow night at ISP. We have Paul Epstein from New York, Rib Hillis from Los Angeles, and they'll both be with you and us after these news notes. Several hundred people involved with the TV-making side of Amazon had their roles terminated earlier today. Prime Video, Amazon MGM Studios, and Amazon Freevee are impacted by the job reductions to some degree. Mike Hopkins, the executive in charge of all three units, noted in an email that came out this morning that the effort is part of a plan to prioritize investments for long-term success. He added that from here, investment and focus on content initiatives delivering the most impact will rise. The employee reductions come in advance of Prime Video turning on its limited advertising format on January 29th. Now, quickies. Screen Actors Guild TV Award nominated programs came out today, and they include The Crown, Succession, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, and Only Murders in the Building. Netflix will carry the live ceremony for the first time February 29th. Farmer Wants a Wife begins its second season February 1st on Fox. And a personnel move, Jack Sussman will step down as CBS's overseer of specials to become the executive producer of the Tony Awards and the Kennedy Center Honors. Congratulations to Mr. Sussman. And that is news notes for today. If you haven't heard, INFP over the last few years has made a big turn, you might say a deep dive, into Westerns and shows that spotlight heroes, original scripted shows like Wild West Adventures, which you might say is our generation's Death Valley days. Well, they're making a bigger deep dive this year into original Western scripted programming. And that deep dive for 2024 starts tomorrow night with a very interesting new series called The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger. Joining me here in New York in an interview exclusive, the executive producer of that program, Paul Epstein. Paul, welcome in.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And joining both of us live from Los Angeles, where he is driving as we speak, the star of this new series, Rib Hillis. Rib, thanks for being here, and congratulations on your role.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. Hi, nice to chat with you again, Paul. It seems like we are making a habit of talking on podcasts.
We sure are. Yes, we are.
So, Paul, how did this very unique INFP entry come your way?
Well, I had been working on other TV shows for INSP for the past couple years, also in the Western space. These were TV documentary series. One of them is called Into the Wild Frontier. It's in its fourth season this year. That'll be premiering in April of this year. And it's a docudrama, which features, you know, really heavily dramatized and narrative TV elements, along with a little bit of documentary about frontier heroes from the early part of the American frontier era, from the 1820s and 30s. And with that being so successful, INSP turned to me to try to develop this new show, a fully scripted show called The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger, which we did. We filmed the pilot in October of 2022. Pilot turned out great, and so they ordered a 10-episode season. And here we are, you know, almost a year later, and we have the show in hand, and we are ready to go.
What separates this, though, Paul, from the other INST shows, I mentioned Wild West Adventures, you mentioned Into the Wild Frontier, is that these shows are more anthology-oriented, docudrama, and so forth. This one is actually, I think, the first INST is done based on a single ongoing character.
Yes and no. INST has another show called Wild West Chronicles. It's a little bit similar. It's based on the adventures of a real Out West, Old West hero named Bat Masterson. He was a real person. He was the marshal of Dodge City for many years. And that show is in its third season, and it's basically the fictionalized adventures of Bat Masterson as he interviews other Old West heroes and villains. So The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger is based on a very real person, Jim Bridger, famous frontiersman from the frontier era. But it tells the stories about him that might have happened, but that we are not claiming definitely did. It's historical fiction. So everything in the show fits well within the realm of historical possibility. Everybody he encounters is evil, either a fictionalized composite of a real person, or sometimes he meets actual real historical characters, but always in a way that's plausible. So as I like to say, Jim Bridger in our series, he's never going to meet Bigfoot. He's never going to go surfing. He's never going to open the stock exchange. He's always going to be doing things that could actually have happened to the real Jim Bridger, but we take some dramatic license with the stories that we tell.
Mm-hmm. Rib, how did you decide to do this series? It sounds like, and I saw your Instagram or social media posting earlier today, your video, and it sounds like this is a – it reminds me a little bit about Daniel Boone. It reminds me a little bit about Davy Crockett, both of which were very popular TV series back when, in the 50s and 60s. And this is a character that in many ways is larger than life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jim Bridger, you know, the tall tales of Jim Bridger, I've heard of those before I even heard of this show being made. He's quite a legendary figure in the West, in the mountains. I've spent a bit of time in Montana over the last 10 years, and when I saw this show come up on one of the casting sites, I was like, oh my goodness, Jim Bridger. I would love to play Jim Bridger. And it worked out. It took a minute. I had to go through the casting process, but getting this job and being up there in Montana, it literally feels like this is where I was meant to be. I'm not necessarily a believer in it, but my wife strongly thinks that I may have been Jim Bridger in a previous life. I feel very at home up there playing this guy.
Mm-hmm. How did you find out about INSP doing this, and was it a very quick audition process to get the role, or did you have to, time after time?
So there's a website called LA Casting or Casting Networks, and actors, that's what we do. We go log into it every day, and we look at things and say, oh, there's an audition for a Coca-Cola commercial or this or that. And so I saw this Jim Bridger show and the role of Jim Bridger, and I submitted myself. Now, I didn't get a call back. I ended up getting contacted through my agent some weeks later to audition for another character, Pierre Leclerc, which is a character that plays in the pilot episode, which is the second episode we show. I said, I'll audition for Pierre Leclerc. He's a French-Canadian. I said, but can you help me get the Jim Bridger audition? And my agents were able to get me the Jim Bridger audition, and it took some time. I feel like many months, like four months maybe, before I started hearing, hey, you're one of the top contenders, Rib. And I remember I was on location on another job doing a commercial, and my agents called me and said, you got the job. And I practically dropped my phone. It was, this is what we look forward to as an actor. I love the job. I love working. But to play this character, you know, be up there in Montana running around the mountains, it's just like a dream.
We're just getting started on Tomorrow Be Televised, talking about this new series from INSP, The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger. It premieres tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. INSP available on cable, satellite, also in some markets as well, on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. We've got the person who plays Jim Bridger, and that is Rib Hillis. He joins us live from Los Angeles. And Phil Epstein's the executive producer. He's with me here in New York. And we're all here together this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us wherever you are across the country, around the globe on this Wednesday afternoon. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Make that phone go, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our third and final episode of the week is going to be a humdinger, Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon 2 p.m. Pacific, and wait to hear who we have for you. Next week, simply next Wednesday, the CW premieres its first original series of the year. It's called Wild Cards. Think of it as a buddy kind of show, Private Eye or Cop and Scammer. And we will have the creator and executive producer of the series. His name is Michael Cunves. He will be with us as our lead guest. Then you're going to meet a woman by the name of Bonnie Boudreau, and she is the founder of a company called Binge Networks that has been now in the process of syndicating original content through multi-channel bundles like Tubi, Zumo, Pluto TV, and so on. We'll hear how she's doing. She's our second guest. And at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, this is one of the biggest exclusives we've ever had in this program. We will have Maury McIntyre, the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Television Academy, formerly the Academy of TV Arts and Sciences, the folks behind the Emmy Awards, the 75th version with Anthony Anderson's host. This is the one that was supposed to be on last fall, pushed back because of the writers and the actors' strikes. Well, it happens on Fox this coming Monday night, and Maury will be with us in exclusive internet radio part of Tomorrow Be Televised. And yes, he will answer your questions and feedback about the Emmys and also about what the TV Academy plans to do beyond the Emmys this year. It's all coming your way on a special two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcasts and videos. So tune in. It is going to be great. Rib, in that Instagram or social media video, you had a lot to say about Jim Bridger. One of the things you said was he was a human GPS. How so?
He is well known and documented that he could recite how to get from here to there just about anywhere in the West. And he was, you know, recounted in other people writing about him how they'd ask him to tell him, you know, the features along the trail, and he would remember them down to the minutest detail. He was quite extraordinary. I think it's one of the things that really helped him survive, I would imagine, because he never was lost. He always knew where he was. And he was also very instrumental in guiding other people across the country. You know, he came up with those several trails. There's, you know, the Oregon Trail, California Trail. There's a Bridger Trail, the best way for, you know, pioneers to get from the east out to the west. And Jim Bridger was extraordinary in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Paul, once you got the go-ahead minus SP to do this, how much research did you, your writing team, your directors do to really flesh out this person and the kind of tall tales that have sprung up about him?
We did quite a lot of research. We wanted to make sure that we were going to do justice to Jim Bridger's actual story. We also needed to make sure that we could create a very realistic and believable version of the world in which he lived. And, you know, the show is kind of interesting in that it has essentially two main storylines. The beginning of the show starts off in 1868 when Jim Bridger is older and he's a scout for the Army. This is all true historical fact. And something happens in the beginning of the show. He'll run into somebody or an event will occur that will lead him to recount some adventure from his past, which is usually a fictional story that's based on real events. The story in the past can take place anywhere from 1829 up until the 1860s. It covers a lot of history. So in terms of research and understanding the period and making sure that we could tell realistic and detailed and factual stories about this, we read as much as we possibly could. The shows we had been working on, Into the Wild Frontier, had covered this period pretty well. So since I had done that and some of the writers had been on it, we have a pretty good grounding in this era. But we did as much as we could to make it real. And part of the challenge is that a lot of this era, particularly the earlier times, in the 1820s, maybe the 1830s, a lot of what happened on the frontier with even some well-known people like Jim Bridger is simply not known to history. The frontiersmen, the trappers, the fur traders, not all of them were literate. Jim Bridger was illiterate. He could never read or write. They didn't keep memoirs or journals. So records could be quite spotty about where somebody was or what they were doing for maybe even years at a time. And so this is an opportunity and a challenge. The challenge is how do we make sure we're telling a story that will make sense and will fit into that narrative if we don't know what really happened. The opportunity is we can fill in that blank. We can say, well, Bridger may well have been trapping on the Yellowstone and he may have encountered the Cheyenne tribe and something may have happened with them and it could turn into a great story. So we did a lot of research to make sure that everything you see that happens to Bridger looks and feels and sounds like it really could have happened, even though in most cases the actual stories never did.
So, Riv, when you're playing this character, no matter what the plot line is of an individual episode, how do you demonstrate that this character, this person, is someone who, despite the illiteracy, lived by his wits?
Well, I mean, it's a very physical role. We're out there on location in Montana, you know, in some, you know, in the kind of area that Jim would have been, you know, habit living and trapping and running around in. So, you know, that side of it, and we have an incredible wardrobe department. So I look the part. It's pretty fun and easy to feel the part when you're out there getting devoured by mosquitoes. We shot in, I think it was June, and it was incredible. We were just getting ruined by the mosquitoes. And so it's kind of that case of, you know, we're just right there living. We just have cameras running. And, you know, obviously it's a little fictionalized, but it was just a case of really just stepping into the role and feeling like Jim would if you were on set with us.
Before we get into, like, some of the specific tall tales that the series depicts, where did you film the series in Montana, and what kind of challenges did you have in terms of getting these episodes filmed?
Well, as Rip mentioned, we shot entirely in Montana, basically within an hour of Missoula. You know, within that hour of Missoula, you know, it's a gorgeous, beautiful place. And if anyone listening has not been to Montana, you should go and be warned that it is really big. It is much, much bigger than you would think if you've never been there. And that's just a great reason to shoot. You can see forever. You can find incredible landscapes all over the place. You can find very untouched, very pristine, natural landscapes that looked quite close to what they would have looked, if not exactly what they looked like, you know, back in Jim Bridger's day. So filming in Montana, it provided a great natural setting. It just was a place where Bridger himself had been many times. And a lot of our characters had been in and around the very places we had been shooting, including, for example, Lewis and Clark. They don't make it into our series. It's too early, but you know, they passed right through some of the places we were filming. But it's a difficult place to shoot. The weather can be quite extreme. We could get snow in June. It could get cold and frosty as early as August. And in some cases, we would have just endless sunlight. You know, in the middle of the summer, there's like 14 hours of sunlight all day long, which is great. And the rare occasions we want to shoot on that exterior, we'd have to wait pretty late to get actual darkness. And Rib mentioned mosquitoes. You know, we were shooting in the backcountry a fair bit. It's a small show. It's a pretty low-budget show compared to, like, bigger shows like 1883 or Bass Reeves. We're about the size of their snack budget, probably. And so Rib has said before, you know, not a lot of amenities out there. Nobody had a star trailer. We weren't having, you know, elaborate lunches. A lot of times we were out of cell phone range just because we were out of cell phone range. So, you know, the crew out there was really good at this. They were really good at shooting in relatively rough conditions. Rib is a true trooper. He never, ever stopped. He never needed to rest. He never got tired. He never said, I need a break. He just kept going and going. And ultimately, it was a really, really successful shoot, but not without its challenges, because when you're trying to film something about people living in the backcountry and really trying to make it look like you're in the backcountry to a certain degree, you and your crew have to be in the backcountry and live the way they did. So a great place to shoot, but not necessarily an easy place to shoot.
Did your knowledge of Montana, Rib, give you an advantage in terms of not just how you play the character, but really how you deal with the environment?
I think so. You know, like I said, I'd been going up to Montana for about 10 years. I did a movie up there. The first one was called Cowboys versus Dinosaurs, and we shot that up in the Bozeman Livingston area 10 years ago. And then I would go up I became good friends with the director, and I'd go up in the wintertime and go ice climbing. I'd, you know, be there in the summertime. We'd make movies and go hiking and rock climbing. So I definitely think it helped me understand where these mountain men, where Jim, you know, was living and how life would be. I've talked to Paul about wanting to shoot in the wintertime, which I know is ambitious. I've shot some stuff in the wintertime up there because that, to me, is what blows me away. These guys were living up there year-round. Obviously, natives were living there, too. Like, it is a hardy, hardy bunch of men and women that lived out in the frontier in the West back in the day.
So give us a typical episode, Paul, of this series. First of all, I'm wondering, because of what you said earlier. Is this done in sequence, like let's say The Life and Legends of Wyatt Earp, where every show builds on or advances the ultimate story of a character like Wyatt Earp or a character like Jim Bridger?
No, actually, it's a throwback to slightly more old school TV, which I love, frankly. It's a kind of a case of the week show. It's a close-ended episode, as we say. So there are some running themes or some stories that run throughout the whole series, but every episode you get a beginning, middle, and end of a story, and it ends with Bridger solving his problem and resolving his conflict and ending the story. You know, often there's a moral or a lesson learned or sometimes a bit of a joke or and maybe even an inside joke if you're starting to watch the series. But each episode, again, starts off with Bridger in his golden years, so he has to put a fake beard on Rib. We have to make him look like he's a spry 60-ish-year-old man. And then something happens in his camp or happens on the trail, and the story kicks off, and he says, I need to tell you something. Let me tell you about what really happened way back when. Or I know somebody who went through the same thing you're going through right now. Or he'll say, I know where that place is that nobody else can find. And the people he's speaking to in the show often are resistant. They don't believe him. They think he's lying. They think he has an ulterior motive. Or they think that he's just pulling their leg for some reason. And we always, by the end of the show, circle back to the idea that the story that he tells is true either in fact or in spirit. And as a sneak peek, episode one doesn't have this. Episode two, it's called They Killed Me. And it builds on what is sort of the most famous Jim Bridger tale. It's kind of a running joke Jim Bridger would tell around the campfire late at night, either at the Trapper's Rendezvous or at wherever camp he is at. He was known for this story. He'd tell it different ways, but it always wind up with a band of hostile Native Americans, the Crow, the Blackfeet, they were chasing me, and they wound up in a box canyon, and they were right behind me, and there was no way out, and I couldn't escape. And then he would always dramatically pause and wait for somebody to ask him, well, Jim, what happened? And he would say, well, they killed me, of course. And so, not the best joke you've ever heard perhaps now in 2024, but it was a real humdinger back then. And he was known for that story, and it always got a laugh. So we set out, this was actually the pilot episode that we shot in October, to tell that story. And then when somebody says, I don't believe you, Jim, he gets steely quiet and silent and serious. And he says, but what if it's true? And then we gave ourselves the challenge in the show, and Rib delivered the story beautifully, to tell a story in which Jim Bridger dies and yet lives to tell the tale. And so what really happens, I'm going to make you wait until a week from tomorrow to find out. I hope you'll watch it. But that's the kind of thing the show does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The show
Rib,
will
what's your favorite moment?
Start off with some
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, that was it. I was just going to say that the show always begins with a situation that that Jim Bridger needs to confront, and he dives into his lifetime of experience in a tall tale to resolve the conflict, and at the end of the show, we get the resolution.
Rib, before we go, what's your favorite moment?
My favorite moment of the show, gosh, I mean, there were so many incredible moments and episodes. You know, I think the pilot episode, and I told Paul this, I just watched the pilot episode, rewatched it, and it was the very first one we shot. It was everyone was, you know, I was new to this set. I was new to meeting everyone. And there's something about that one. It airs second in our season, so it'll be next Thursday. But there's something about that. There was just this incredible magic that happens. And I feel like that episode has always kind of maintained its sort of place for me as something very special, because I'm like, oh, everything else came from these moments. And next Thursday, you'll be able to see that one. But every episode is incredible. Incredible cast. Oh, my God. The actors that come out and work with us, they just blew me away every day. I felt like I just had to do my best to keep up with everybody's incredible work. Yeah, I'm so excited to share this with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Also, before we go, Paul, you mentioned the Wild West Chronicles, which deals with Bat Masterson. Some people may not know that Bat Masterson was the subject of a very popular series that ran the 50s and 60s on NBC with Gene Barry as the star of that series, playing that very dapper man. The theme song is very famous. The episodes are now running on YouTube. Have people come up and compared your program with Gene Barry's portrayal of Bat Masterson?
I'm not sure. I don't actually work on that show. That's a different production company. But I do think that Wild West Chronicles, it's the same network, and I'm very familiar with the show. Wild West Chronicles actually does try to separate it a little bit from the original by being probably a little grittier, being a little bit more realistic. You know, INSP is a family-friendly network, so they don't get too rough or raw or violent. But they try to make sure they're telling their own version of the Bat Masterson story and not simply doing a reboot of the original Gene Barry. And in that one, Gene Barry is always walking around with a cane. There's this famous legend about Bat Masterson and walking with the cane and needing a cane and why he had the cane. I actually did a whole other show, one episode of a series about Bat Masterson myself, and we got into the cane. But in Wild West Chronicles, I don't think that he walks around. I don't think they use that same gimmick from the original series. If they do, not nearly so much.
Or that derby hat, which also is in the song lyric.
Yeah, he was known as a dapper dresser. He would, Bat Masterson was a he dressed well. He was urbane. He was a good talker. He loved sports and sporting and writing about sports and gambling. And so I think Wild West Chronicles presents him that way, but probably not quite as a dandy, as it were, in the original one back from the 50s or 60s when that first show was made.
Are both of you gearing up for a second season if the first season does well?
Oh, hell yes, definitely. I'm sure Riv is as eager as I am. We love the show.
If you called me today and said, come on up to Montana, we're shooting tomorrow, I'd be there. It's the best time of my life.
It's the kind of show that could go on for six.
Sorry, go ahead, Paul, or Rip.
It's the kind of show that could go on for years and years. It's not a 10-episode binge and you're done. It could be up to season five, season six. Our only limit is our ability to create realistic stories about this amazing character. And so it could go on for years and years, and we really hope it does because we love it.
The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger start playing tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time on INSP. Check out where it's available in your area on cable or satellite or available through smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about the service online, go to INSP.com. That's INSP.com. And coming up later this spring, another new series with a Western flavor will be premiering called Elkhorn. It takes place in the days of Teddy Roosevelt. That's Elkhorn. That will be coming up, I believe, April and May on INSP. And as soon as we find out when that show is running, around that time of the premiere, we hope to have the people involved with that show on this very program. Paul Epstein, Riv Hillis, thank you both very much for coming on. Have a wonderful time with the premiere tomorrow night and hopefully the beginning of a great long run with the Tall Tales of Jim Bridger. Obviously, a lot of tall tales to showcase.
Thank you so much. This is a blast. I hope you watch it. I hope you enjoy it.
We'll definitely do. Both of you take care. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a great, great, and a great weekend, too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Paul Epstein and Rob Hillis joining us from New York and Los Angeles, respectively, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll continue the program, but first I have a message from the wonderful people at Wild. Have you have a habit that you are so ingrained with that it takes a lot to break? Well, I got to be honest with you. I do have some habits like that, and one of them dealt with my deodorant. Now, I've been using this deodorant for a long, long, long time. And when Wild Deodorant came along and they became a sponsor of our show, they sent me a sample of Wild. And I must tell you, my habit from my old deodorant to my new one broke like crazy, literally spit like that. And that's why I now use Wild. And if you haven't heard about Wild, it is out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly. That's why I gave Wild a try, and I'm so happy I did. Wild goes on great. It doesn't stick. It has wonderful fragrances and all different fragrances and styles. And the best part is it comes with a reusable case that you just put the refill in. When one is done, put the refill in, and you just twist at the bottom, and you're all good to go. You know, Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. And it comes, like I said, in a variety of scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom, is going to be one of my favorites, or fresh cotton sea salt. And the other good thing about Wild is that there's no harsh chemicals to fret about, get worried about. And if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. And like I said, it comes in a refillable case. The case, by the way, has my name, Simon, on it. Love it, love it, love it. It is so good. So if you want to go Wild today, all you got to do is go to wild.com, You get a special discount of 25% off your first order. And all you got to do to get that discount is use the promo code SimonApple04. That's SimonApple04. To get that discount, use that promo code. And before you do, you go to WeAreWild.com. That's WeAreWild.com. Use that promo code Televised, TLEVISED, and then you get that discount at checkout. Again, you go to WeAreWild.com. Use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. And then just enjoy wild. It is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week, and then a CES 2024 comment. Believe it or not, two of the biggest players at CES this week all had one thing in common. They had nothing to say about their adventures in smart TV sets or using smart TV applications. In Walmart's case, their deal with Roku. More about that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love horror movies, you will love Talking Terror. It's the BTR show about the world of horror movies and television. And their latest episode is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's Talking Terror tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR always comes your way 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Wednesday, 10 days already into 2024. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 47 degrees above the hour. So when I hear from you, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This half hour is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Coming up, a comment based on two presentations that have happened over the last 2 days at CES 2024, the big consumer electronics mega show happening in Las Vegas, about 130,000, 140,000 people there, 4,000 exhibitors, and two of them decided not to make news when it came to their smart TV adventures, Sony and Walmart. Before we get to that, let's get into our classic trivia question of the week. Next last time that we're offering it, we are a week and a half into our two-week period, and we want to get a winner. It's time to get a winner. We have seven prizes in play for you, including the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. You put it in your pocket, coat pocket, jacket pocket. It's good for you anytime you want, and it can be yours along with two wonderful CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits, Lifetime Women in Rock. We got two wonderful books, Running the Show, TV on the Inside by Jeff Melvoin, the former writer and producer of Northern Exposure, Emmy Award winner too. And we've got David Craig's Apocalypse Television about the 40th anniversary of The Day After, the critically acclaimed ABC movie about nuclear fallout and how it helped end the Cold War. All that, plus a free Uber card from AMC Networks and a free Redbox Movie Night card from Crackle Connect, all coming your way if you know the answer to this question. Who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? Who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? That's the popular 1955-60 series. It was on CBS. Remember, it was about a millionaire who gave away every episode $1 million, a check for that amount, to somebody this person never knew. And Michael Anthony, the character played by Marvin Miller, this person's executive secretary, goes and finds the person, and then you see what the heck happens with how this person spends the million or not. Well, we want to know the character's name who plays of the millionaire. We want the character, not the actor, the character's name of the millionaire. If you want to know the answer, you can go to Wikipedia. You can also go to YouTube because episodes are playing right there. Who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, all seven prizes are yours. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. One more time, the question, who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? We're looking for the character's name. Not the actor or actress, the character's name. So email me, SimonApple04, that's SimonApple, number 4, at yahoo.com. And we want to hear from you because you could be our first winner of 2024. So be in it to win today and all the very best. Coming up next, two companies, two big players who don't want to talk about television. We'll try to maybe surmise why after we have a word from the great people at Liquid IV. If you haven't heard, there's a new wellness routine going around that is easy to take and it keeps you in hydrated shape. We're talking about Liquid IV. It's a great-tasting drink mix in stick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get 5 essential vitamins. Count them, B3, 5, 6, 12, and dynamite vitamin C. And you get 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors to choose from. They're all delicious. They're all refreshing, like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, and Watermelon. And if you haven't heard, there's also a line of sugar-free flavors, like Green Grape and peach. Liquid IV is gluten, dairy, and soy-free. So what are you waiting for? Go to liquidiv.com to order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today. Use that promo code TELEVISE, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. The last 2 days, a lot of activity has been going on in Las Vegas with CES 2024. That's the annual Consumer Electronics Mega Show. This year, about 130,000, 140,000 people are catching all the activity. There's 4,000-plus exhibitors, more than a quarter are startups. And there's already been a lot of news made in the area of smart TV sets and smart TV devices, whether it's models or, more importantly, new features, new capability, new capacity, and new new applications. That's what I was saying. Applications. Well, we're going to be showcasing the big story out of all this on Friday's episode in our final half hour. That'll be our takeaway of the week. And I promise you, it is a huge takeaway. So that's coming your way on Friday. And if you haven't heard, if you weren't with us the first half hour, we got a huge show coming your way on Friday. We will have, 1 week from today, Wild Cards, first new series of 2024 on the CW premieres. We will have the creator executive producer, Michael Cunyres, and he's our first guest. We have Bonnie Verdero from Binge Networks, very interesting company that distributes original content syndication-like to multi-channel bundles like Tubi, Zumo, Fubo, etc. And then we've got the huge get-go, Maury McIntyre, the president and chief executive officer of the Television Academy, the folks that do the Emmy Awards, and a whole lot more. Well, like I said, there's been a lot of interesting smart TV developments going on. New apps, new capacity, new capability, new features showing up. And then there have been a couple of companies out there that you would think would showcase what they're doing in television, and they didn't. First, Sony. Now, Sony is one of the most important players in television on both the technology and the content side. They're one of the biggest content makers on the planet. They're one of the biggest makers of smart TV sets, the Bravia line, B-R-A-V-I-A. And Sony did their presentation late on Monday, which you can see on YouTube. And Sony had a lot to say about what they're doing as a company, what they're doing with their television content-making division. Catherine Pope, who's the head of Sony Pictures Television, had a few minutes to talk about some of the things they've got, like The Last of Us, which just got 8 Emmy Awards earlier this week, and up for quite a few more, 5 more at least, Monday night on Fox. And they announced a new series for Amazon Prime Video, a new series for Netflix, both video game adaptations like The Last of Us. And you were waiting and waiting and waiting for Sony to say something, anything, about their smart television sets. What new features are you doing? What new apps are you doing? And when it was all over, and trust me, it was a very snazzy presentation, great presentation, not 1 minute, not one word about what's up with their Bravia smart TV sets. Not one word, second, minute. Again, this is one of the biggest consumer electronic and television content making companies in the world. And they don't say anything about what they're doing with their smart TV sets and what's in the pipeline? Nothing? Are you kidding whether it's me or the hundreds of people in Las Vegas watching this live in front of them, or the thousands that have watched it on YouTube and elsewhere, live or on tape, you have nothing to say about how you are responding to what is happening with the rest of your competition in smart TV land? Unbelievable. And as it turned out, they were not the only one, the only big player. Because last night, it happened with Walmart, the nation's largest retailer, and a company that for a long time has dabbled with television. Way back when, before the pandemic, they owned Vudu, Video On Demand Service. At one point, they went to the Digital Content New Front to say, we are going to make original content for Vudu. They did, including a short-lived series based on the hit movie Mr. Mom. And they also spent $250 million on an interactive TV platform called Echo, E-K-O, which they later decided to use for digital, not television, digital and their website content. And 2 years ago, Walmart decided we are going to pioneer a new ecosystem for television, video commerce. We're going to give people the ability to order products and services through the television set. And they made that deal with Roku. And then a year later, summer of 2023, lo and behold, Roku starts playing action ads, which gives you, the viewer, the opportunity to buy products from Walmart using your television set with a voice, voice command, voice control, voice remote, etc. And you didn't have to use a smartphone or a tablet or a PC or a QR code. You did it all through the television set, the whole process. And from what we hear so far, so good. And Walmart is not the only company using these action ads. So is some of the national brands going through Shopify. So are other advertisers. In fact, in a few hours, Charlie Collier, the head of Roku, second in command to the CEO and founder Anthony Wood, is going to be talking in a fireside chat style session at CES. So you would think that yesterday afternoon, about 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 o'clock Pacific, when Doug McMillon, the head of Walmart, one of the best executives, classiest executives in any industry in the United States or around the world, head of a company with 2.1 million employees and all sorts of very unique ways people can shop at their stores or from home using their e-commerce system, great website, great mobile site. And now they've got this deal with Roku, these action ads. They're working. You would think he would have something along the lines in his presentation to say something. And his presentation, again, outstanding. It was beautifully put together. All his employees that were on, terrific. He even went to put on the head of Microsoft, Satya Nadella. His chief technical officer was terrific. And they showed all these wonderful projects, current and going, projects about how you can shop better, projects like drone delivery coming to the city of Dallas, I mean the whole city of Dallas by the end of this year, and some wonderful things that are making their employees' lives, 2.1 million employees around the world, much, much easier, and how they are using AI in a great way. McMillon said himself, the whole idea of using technology is technology for people rather than people for technology. That's his belief about how he runs his company. So you would assume, if you knew what Walmart was doing with Roku and what else they may be planning in terms of television to pioneer this new world of interactive advertising, interactive commerce on the television set, that they would have something to say about it. And just like the Sony situation, not one word, not one second, not one minute was devoted to what they're doing in television. Not one. Unbelievable. Again, we are talking about a company, one of the biggest in the world, that is now involved in giving you, the viewer, the opportunity to order products and services over the television set. just like you might on their website, just like you might with a mobile phone, just like you might using one of the more unique features like shopping yourself at their stores, just like you might if you're a member of Sam's Club. And again, they didn't say squat. You have to wonder what's up here. You have this wonderful opportunity to showcase what you're doing in television, again, with hundreds of people watching that stage, which you illustrate beautifully in Las Vegas, and thousands of people watching around the world, either by live stream or YouTube. And you don't say anything. What's up here? What gives here? These are two opportunities, Sony and Walmart, to really make a splash in the area of smart TV usage, in the area of smart TV capabilities, in the area of smart TV ecosystem. And they don't do it. Unbelievable. I call it a wasted opportunity. And that is in spite of two marvelous presentations on every level. And if you haven't seen the presentations, go to YouTube, Sony and Walmart. They're great, absolutely great. These are two companies that know what the heck they're doing. And that if they really wanted to showcase it, could make a sensational impact on television. I'm talking about what you can do with a television set. And in Walmart's case, I'm talking about what you can do with video commerce, which looks like it is going to explode. And hopefully in a way that is beneficial to you, the public out there. And I'm really sad to see that because these are two blown opportunities. You don't get the chance to have that kind of crowd, that kind of listening every day, where you have brought people together to get your message. Sony, Monday night, Walmart, yesterday afternoon. And I really hope that Charlie Collier, when he is interviewed, that whoever the interviewer is, they bring up the Walmart deal. Because it is a big deal. When you get the biggest retailer in the world to make a commitment to interactive advertising and interactive commerce, in a groundbreaking, potentially huge way that will lead the industry in terms of what can be done with a television set in the area of commerce, with all the technological capability they have and the partnerships that they have with retailers, with the likes of Microsoft, with the likes of Roku, to really take their business in television to a monumental level. You don't get that opportunity every day. And the same thing with Sony. You don't get that opportunity every day, which is why I'm harping about it. And I really, really hope that both organizations think about this and do an event about what they are doing here in New York, in Los Angeles, in Silicon Valley, that deals with how we're using smart TVs and smart devices. A few hours before we went on today, I did get an email from somebody who had seen the comment I had given on YouTube after I saw the Sony event live, which was, again, why is Sony not talking about their Bravia smart TV sets? And this person was saying, well, they are going to talk about this TV set model and that TV set model in the months ahead. Mm-mm. I hope so, and I hope it's Bravia TV. I really do. So Sony, Walmart, let's get your act together. We want to hear you. We want to see you. And Doug McMillon, come on to New York. When Roku has their new front or whatever event they're going to do this spring or earlier, I hope you come for the ride. Let folks know that Walmart is really, really, really behind this new dimension in television, a dimension that hopefully will be greatly beneficial, especially with the use of artificial intelligence. And the overall story, by the way, and it continues, and it will continue throughout the rest of CES, which is the rest of this week and in the weekend in Vegas, is that artificial intelligence we harness it properly, can be a huge, huge leap in what we can accomplish in life and how we watch and use television. There's a lot of story there to be written. There's a lot of developments to be implemented and created, or created and implemented. So we'll see. One more thing before we go today. I really enjoyed that interview in our first half hour with Paul Epstein and Rib Hillis from The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger. And when they were talking about how each episode goes, where Bridger, as a mature citizen, is dealing with a situation, and then the tall tale comes up, it reminded me of a very interesting TV experiment back in the early 1960s by a young entrepreneur named Aaron Spelling. That's the one behind such shows as Dynasty and Charlie's Angels and The Love Boat and Fantasy Island, one of the great entrepreneurs in television content making of all time. He was Greg Berlanti and Shonda Rhimes and Dick Wolf before Greg Berlanti, Shonda Rhimes, Dick Wolf, Tyler Perry, et cetera, et cetera. And in the early 1960s, he collaborated with Lloyd Bridges, the star of Sea Hunt, other great TV shows as well, on a series called The Lloyd Bridges Show. It was a very unusual semi-anthology series, and it went like this. Bridges played a newspaper reporter, and every week you see him at the site of a story he wants to cover. And at some point in the first few minutes of this episode, of each episode, Bridges has something happen that triggers his imagination along the lines of, what if I was not a bystander reporting on this situation, but actually in the middle of the situation? And what happens is that the story, through this bridge sequence, goes from present day to the situation with Bridges as a character in the midst of that, or the center of that situation. And the show plays itself out, and at the very end, we go back to the present day, and there's Bridges in his character, his modern-day character, and the show comes to an end in whatever way it comes to an end. It's a wonderful show. It's very well done. John Cassavetes actually directed some of his first episodes on that series, two of them, and very effectively. However, in that time, the audience was not ready to accept that kind of anthology series. It was very experimental, very different, and the ratings, even though it had good backing from Kaiser Aluminum, sponsor, it wasn't working. So what happened? Spelling shifted course. He made it a straight anthology show with Bridges as the host. Sometimes he was in episodes, sometimes he wasn't. But it was always a different situation every episode. And unfortunately, the Lloyd Bridges Show, despite that change, didn't last more than a year. So it'll be interesting to see whether, with the tall tales of Jim Bridger, that this format may have a second shot at life. We'll see. Again, The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger premieres tomorrow night on INSP, executive produced by Paul Epstein, with Rib Hillis as the title character. And again, it premieres tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on INSP, available on broadcast and cable. So check your local news for the how INSP comes to you on cable, satellite, smart TV sets, smart TV lights. For more details, INSP.com. Well, that will do it for our episode today. And we want you to know that we have a very big two-hour show coming your way on Friday, the third of our three episodes this week. We have a great lineup for you. We kick it off with Michael Kunivet. He is the creative executive producer of the new CW series, Wild Cards. It's their first one of the year, premieres 1 week from tonight. Then we'll have Bonnie Britto from Binge Network. She is the founder and the overseer of that service, which syndicates original content to Tubi, Zumo, Pluto TV, other multi-channel bundles. And finally, our big exclusive, Maury McIntyre, the president and chief executive officer of the Television Academy, whose 75th anniversary Emmy Awards with Anthony Anderson as the host premieres Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live from Los Angeles on Fox. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our website, available 24/7 for the great people on Podium, tomorrowbetelevised.com. at SwamiTelevised.com. And remember, you can catch us anytime on nearly 45 great podcast sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, Audible, Amazon Music, many, many more. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our guest today and my commentary in the second half hour? What's your thoughts where TV's at and where it's going? And if you've been at CES 2024, how is it going for you? What do you think about the developments affecting smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and how you watch and use them? Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're emailing from. You can use that, by the way, to be involved in our classic trivia question every week. The current question, who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? Seven prizes in play. If you're first to pick the answer, you win them all. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, if you have a TV series that you like that you feel deserves more attention than it's getting, well, email me. We'll highlight our regular feature of Show to Know. And remember, put down the name of the show, where it's on, why you like it, and why you think we should showcase it. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. You can also contact me at LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook or LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, full name, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you in 24 hours, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They're not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website services by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitar Spakus is our web coordinator. Smarmy Televised was brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. And by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Don't forget to use the promo codes to get a discount on both those products. For Smarmy Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your midweek. Back on Friday, big two-hour show to wrap the week up. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe, make it great. And as we're saying around here these days, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.